Well, you may not have even heard of deep seabed mining. It's a relatively new industry and involves breaking off mineral deposits which have formed around volcanic hot springs on the sea floor. It's new territory and all eyes are on Nautilus Minerals' Solwara 1 project in the Bismarck Sea, off the coast of Papua New Guinea. When it's up and running, it will be the first commercial-scale deep-sea mining operation. The Wire's Jessica Minchell looks into the environmental regulations which cover the sea floor and Australia's involvement in ocean mining.
It's very experimental, and in fact, you know, I've heard people refer to the Solwara 1 project in Papua New Guinea as a mining experiment.
Experimental is the word many are using to describe the first commercial-scale deep seabed mining operation, Solwara 1. Canadian-owned Nautilus Minerals was given the go-ahead in June by the Papua New Guinea government to begin mining gold and copper from the floor of the Bismarck Sea. Despite all eyes on the project, delays are expected as Australian former High Court Judge Murray Gleeson arbitrates a rift between the PNG government and Nautilus, believed to be over a 30% stake. There are strong environmental concerns which are grounded in the experimental nature of this technology and that not much is known about the ecosystems at such great depths of the ocean and around these volcanic vents. Dr. Helen Rosenbaum authored the Out of Our Depth report into deep sea mining.
Well, because this is such a new form of mining, and you know, this is actually the first commercial operation, there aren't really any environmental regulations. The European Union is busily supporting the South Pacific Commission in the development of a Pacific regional regulatory framework. And our colleagues in the Pacific are opposing this because civil society in the Pacific has not yet given its consent.
Helen Rosenbaum is concerned that any Pacific Island regional framework regulating deep sea mining will have watered down conditions, following statements at this year's Rio Plus 20 Earth Summit.
The director of the Geoscience Division of the Secretariat of the South Pacific, Dr. Russell Howarth, said that he thought that the precautionary principle needs to be reinterpreted. One of the accepted definitions of the precautionary principle is that if a development has a risk of causing harm to the public or to the environment, the burden of proof that it's not harmful falls on the developers.
Steve Raymakers is undertaking his PhD with the University of Wollongong into deep sea mining in the South Pacific. He says there's some Australian companies involved with deep sea mining exploration in this region, but that most projects are undertaken by multinational groups.
We're seeing a huge amount of exploration underway at the moment. There are several companies active in the Pacific region, not only in Papua New Guinea, but also in Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, Tonga, Fiji.
It's not quite in the same league, but sand mining has been happening off the coast of New South Wales for some time. And there's interest in the top end of the Northern Territory for the shallower sea floor mining. Earlier this year, the Territory government placed a three-year moratorium on seabed mining. This was after Aboriginal land councils were outspoken on the issue. However, this is not deep seabed mining.
Australia doesn't have any volcanically active areas like you see in Papua New Guinea and Tonga, Solomon Islands, etc., where you have the hydrothermal vents along the volcanically active fault lines.
Which environmental protections exist and cover which area is a little confusing, partly because it's experimental. This is a new form of mining and regulations are still being developed. The International Seabed Authority, formed under the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, is this week meeting in Jamaica discussing environmental regulations for deep sea mining. Steve Raymakers outlines when the international laws come into play.
Well, I think it's very important to understand that the International Seabed Authority, the ISA, any legislation or any regulations that they develop only apply in areas beyond national jurisdiction.
The other reason regulating this area is tricky is a standard issue with international law. Not all countries are signatories to the Convention on the Law of the Sea. Noticeably absent is the United States, although some commentators are conjecturing that Barack Obama will try to sign the convention before the end of his presidential term.
There was Jessica Minchell with that report.